back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Scott, we were both in Evanston, Illinois last weekend. Also ran into Teddy Greenstein of the Chicago Tribune and the Big Ten Network there, and he joins us now. Hi, Teddy, how are you?
Great, Jack. How's it going?
Just fine. That was kind of a crazy one we saw last week.
Yeah, you know, it's fun when these games come down to one play, and really that's what this one did. I mean, if Northwestern can get a stop on a late fourth down, if they, are able to not get tricked on the fake punt, there's so many opportunities there. But I tell you, man, Michigan State kept rolling. Kirk Cousins was great in the second half and stayed undefeated.
You know, when Michigan State came out to punt from the 31-yard line, I turned to the person next to me, and I said, this might be as dumb a call as the one that worked.
Yeah, it's funny. I was, when I got in that situation, I said, oh, I've got to go for it, clearly. And then I'm trying to remember the sequence. Then they take the timeout.
Right.
Then the 5 yard goes back, and I got to say, I mean, I was tricked too. I mean, I took the cheese. I mean, at that point, I'm thinking, okay, I mean, obviously you're not going to take five if you're going to go for it, or even if you're going to fake here. So I don't know, it's a really conservative call, down 10 in the fourth quarter. So, it's such a simple play, that fake punt that they called, and yet it worked rather easily. What stinks for Northwestern fans, Jordan Maben, the guy covering on the play, he's their best, cover guy. He's a cornerback, and he didn't exactly follow through on his responsibilities, and Hunter Bates, who's the returner and a safety, just did not come over quickly enough. Next thing Michigan State's in the end zone one play later.
Now, I have seen that work before, but not with the pass being caught. It's usually been with pass interference because the jammer has no idea that the gunner is really a receiver.
You know, to me, I see these plays in like the Wisconsin fake punt, and I just wonder why don't coaches ever punt? I mean, it seems like they work all the time, and it doesn't seem like it's particularly high risk. I mean, those plays both worked rather easily.
Now in the Big Ten, you've got three teams in the top 11, the only conference that can say that in terms of the BCS standings, and you've really got five pretty good teams that could finish with double-digit wins if Illinois runs a table.
Yeah, I mean, I think Illinois' best would be 9-3, but really that could happen. I mean, Illinois' toughest games are behind, and I mean, right now they're thinking, wow, maybe a game like the Gator Bowl, a New Year's Day game, and in Florida, and that would have been almost unthinkable a couple months ago. So Illinois is on the upswing, and then you got the teams in the middle right now, kind of the Northwesterns and Michigans, who will be angling for good bowl spots. So it's been exciting, and obviously Michigan State Iowa is going to be the marquee game this week.
Yeah, I look at Illinois, and they've lost three games to teams that are combined 22-1. So if they get a chance for a 10th win in the bowl game, I'm not betting against them.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I really still would be surprised if they run the table and go 5-0 just because of that inconsistency. I think there's still going to be a loss there. There's an at Michigan and at Northwestern at Wrigley Field. But, yeah, I mean, Illinois right now has been the surprise of the league because I don't consider Michigan State that big a surprise. I mean, I had them finishing fourth, and, a lot of people I know, had them as a dark horse to win the thing.
Right. Teddy, if you could pick one quarterback to win one game for $1 million, who would you pick out of the Big Ten this year?
I see Dan Persa play every week, and you saw him last week, scramble and run for three touchdowns. I think I would take him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's maybe the best scrambler in college football. I mean, if it's 3rd and 7, he'll get 8. If it's 3rd and 15, he'll get 16.
Right.
And he's the most accurate passer in the country. I mean, he didn't have great numbers against Michigan State, and he's still number one. Pryor can win you some games. Cousins can win you some games. Tolzien. It's a great league for quarterbacks this year.
What do you make of this Michigan State-Iowa game? I know a lot of angst, people making picks on this game, but you really can see it going a lot of different directions. What do you look for in Iowa City?
The only thing I would predict is that it's going to be within 3 points. in terms of who's going to win, it's going to come down to, I'm sure, a last-minute turnover or a missed field goal or a made field goal, because that's just how tight these teams are. They're very similar statistically. Michigan State has a little edge in the kicking game. Iowa has an edge because it's home. other than that, you know, it'll just be interesting to see. I mean, Michigan State comes off an emotional high, and Iowa comes on out in an emotional low. But I think, you know, once the game starts, those things will get washed out, and it's just going to be a very tight game.
Michigan State gets a win in this game. Is it time to put that same old Spartans tag away for good?
No, because there's still three games left to be played, and you know, sure, you'd figure they're going to romp over Minnesota, and who knows what Purdue's going to look like then. But I mean, as bad as Penn State has looked, if that's Joe Paterno's last game and it's in State College, right, you know, that's not something you can just assume as a W.
Right, and a lot of people are looking at this Michigan Penn State game as a game that could decide the futures of two coaches. They think that if Penn State wins, that speeds the departure of Rich Rodriguez and also gets Joe Paterno closer to 400 when he may say goodbye.
Yeah.
But if Michigan wins, maybe both of these coaches are back.
I really would be surprised if Joe Pa's back, no matter how many games he wins the rest of the year. Just, you know, being around him a little bit, and you know, his voice was so weak at Big Ten Media Day, and
right,
I don't think he's doing a great deal of coaching this year. It's just time. I mean, it's up to him. I mean, I'm definitely in the camp that says, you know, it's completely up to him. Nobody should force him, but I do think it's time. But for Rich Rod, there's no question about it. You know, if he loses Saturday, that's three losses in a row.
Right.
You know, then he's got Illinois. Later on, he's got Wisconsin, Ohio State. You're looking at maybe a six-win season. So a really huge game for him Saturday.
Yeah, and he still has to get some news from the NCAA, too, which might impact this decision.
Yeah, because you know Michigan doesn't look too kindly on major violations.
Teddy Greenstein of the Chicago Tribune, and does a great job on the Big Ten Network, and you can see him on Wednesday nights. Teddy, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jack. Take care.
All right. We'll be back with more Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.